This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. That means you can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160 is the number to do that. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
Nikki.
And Bonnie.
And I'm now cold and wet.
Aww.
But I did, you know, get the top up on my convertible, so that's good. And just in time for it, apparently, to stop raining. So, yay for that. But I want to tell you about Freedoms Phoenix. It's your source for all news, economic news, government overreach, insane government spending, and more. Get today's headlines all in one place from a fresh libertarian perspective. You can find this and more at freedomsphoenix.com. That's Freedoms Phoenix with an S. Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. Now, I've had this story up for a few days, and I've been wanting to get into it, but yeah, we ended up talking about other stuff each night. Yale is offering a course comparing the U.S. prison system to those of Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, and Communist China. Now, Ian suggested Monday night that I read the book Gulag Archipelago, and I started reading it Tuesday morning. I got like 12, 13% through it. I don't know the exact page count. And
it's hard.
It is. But what is described in the Gulag Archipelago is drastically different from the U.S. prison system. I mean, the U.S. prison system is bad, yes, but it sounds like Yale doesn't know their history.
I don't think I hate many things more than the U.S. prison system, but I can totally agree that it was a lot worse in the gulags.
It was, and I mean, it was worse in the gulags than it was in Nazi Germany concentration camps.
Wow.
I mean, the Nazi Germans would at least release people. It actually told a story about this guy who was held both in a Nazi concentration camp where they interrogated him, and they ultimately released him after, I think, 6 weeks. I don't recall the exact time frame. And then he found his way back home to Russia where he was put in a gulag and tortured until he told them whatever the gulag overseers wanted to hear versus
Oh, wow.
The Nazis who were actually trying to get the truth from him about whether or not he was a spy. So, however bad the Nazis were, the Soviet government was significantly worse. So, starting this fall, Yale University will be offering a course comparing prison systems in the United States, the Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, and Communist China in the 20th century. Led by Professor of History Timothy Snyder and Professor of Philosophy Jason Stanley, mass incarceration in the Soviet Union and the United States sets out to investigate the role that mass incarceration played in both superpowers during the latter half of the 20th century. Okay, so they're not comparing the conditions. They're comparing the prison apparatus itself that, you know, America, the United States, it does have the largest prison population in the world. That was probably true of Russia during the Soviet Union's existence. Incarceration is central to the understanding, if not usually to the self-understanding, of a society, reads a course description. It is thus a crucial aperture into basic questions of values and practices. It sounds like that's really vague about what the course is actually going to be about. That's not much of a description.
It's kind of interesting, though, because as much as it's very different than the stuff that's described in the Gulag Archipelago, the United States prison system, there are some things that can be compared. Like, for example, people probably act a certain way in American society because of the threat of going to prison is so real.
It is. Reading for the course will include first-person accounts from the Gulag and American prison, as well as scholarly works on mass incarceration. The course will also take account of prison systems in Nazi Germany and Communist China. Any authentic comparison of the American prison system to the Gulag system of Soviet Russia should be very quick and to the point. The Gulags were significantly worse because you don't not in prisons, you don't generally have to worry about the guards, you know, knocking your teeth out, putting cigarettes on you, or forcing you to sit on a pole for 12 hours a day. not in American prisons at least. There's certainly no walk in the park. But anyone who would perpetuate the idea that they're remotely comparable has never read about what a gulag was actually like. Plus, in the United States, in Soviet Russia, the maximum sentence you could get was at least where I'm at in the book, was 25 years in the gulag, and they would just arbitrarily give that to people, which is not what the American government is doing. The gulag system operated entirely outside of the criminal court system of Soviet Russia. It was just its own separate thing, similar to how the Chinese government is treating the Uyghur Muslims. Mm-hmm. They're not there because they committed any sort of criminal act. They're there outside of the judicial system entirely. It's completely outside of the prison system entirely. The United States, at least as yet, does not have one of these extrajudicial prison systems into which they're carting large numbers of people. In the United States, people who are in prison are there because they're at least alleged to have actually committed a crime. Whether they're guilty or innocent, whether the jury system failed them, I don't know, but there is a charge there versus the gulag or the Uyghurs where they're like, oh no, you had a prayer mat. So you're going to the re-education camp, or in the case of Soviet Union, they're like, oh, you just happened to know someone who happened to know someone who traveled to a foreign country, and now you're going to the gulag.
Wow. The fact you say that about them going into the concentration camps for having a prayer mat in China right now, it's kind of crazy that American Christians aren't, you know, as outraged as they are, because I grew up always being told stories about how one day it would be possible that I could have to hide a Bible in the rafters of my house or something like that, because police would come around and kill all the Christian
nonsense,
Bible,
yeah.
With Bibles.
Really? I've never heard that before.
I don't remember how old I was, but I couldn't have been more than like 7 or 8 years old, and I had my father standing there telling me, you know, one day the government's going to come here and they're going to put a sword to your throat. They're going to ask me if I believe in God, and I'm going to say yes, and they're going to slit your throat in front of me. That's what my father said to me when I was like 8 years old.
That's crazy.
They are absolutely crazy. Yeah. They are full. I mean, my family, though, they're special, even for Southern Baptists. They had actual camps and bunkers built for the Y2K thing, because my uncle was convinced that the Antichrist was going to use the Y2K bug, because computer binary code is 666, they said, because they're idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. Their pastor says a thing, and they assume the pastor knows what he's talking about, and the pastor has no idea what he's talking about, but he's their pastor, so they believe him. And next thing you know, they have bunkers that are fully stocked with automatic rifles, and it's just totally crazy what these people believed. So while most people celebrated the millennium, you know, out at parties and stuff like that, we were hunkered down in one of these bunkers waiting on the world to end.
Wow.
Yeah, they're nuts.
But I know a lot of people that thought something was going to happen, Y2K, like the computers were going to stop working and
Well, certainly some things happened, but the only thing that I know from personal experience happened was like the local video store, back when you could actually rent cassette tapes, video cassette tapes and all of that. Like, their date system defaulted to 1973 or 1983 or something, and that was it. So, I mean, a lot of people did work hard to update the software so that it wasn't using the two-digit date format, but still, the end of the world certainly didn't happen, and they were convinced that it was. And now they no longer seem to be concerned about it.
Nobody's up in arms. Well, I don't want to say nobody. There might be some people, but I've never heard of anybody in the Christian South or, you know, Christian America up in arms because people are getting put into concentration camps in China over owning a prayer mat. But, you know, Muslims don't matter.
Yeah, it's not their religion, so a lot of them just don't care.
That would be my message to any Christians who are listening, that stuff that you were afraid was going to happen to you, it's happening to Muslims in China right now. That they're being thrown into prison for having prayer mats or for demonstrating any belief whatsoever. And inside these prisons, I don't remember exactly the specifics, but they're basically required to renounce their religion, because the Chinese state government is, like all states, a religious organization, and it wants to be the supreme religion in China. And obviously, someone believing in a different god, a different supreme being, is just not acceptable to them.
So what religion are they supposed to have?
The state religion.
And what?
Worshipping the state. Jinping, or whatever his name is, the president, as their god, basically, their ultimate provider, the one who gives them everything. I don't recall the exact mantra that they were supposed to say, but it was basically just that hey, your president is your god.
That is so freaky.
It is, but I mean, that's just the Chinese government laying bare the state religion that all governments operate on. Like, the United States government is no different. It's just a little bit more subtle. What are your thoughts? 603-283-6160. You're welcome to weigh in on the discussion or talk about whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160 if you want to join the discussion. That's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and Bonnie.
And I want to tell you about Bitcoin.com, because if for some reason you still haven't learned anything about Bitcoin, this is the place to go. Just click getting started up at the top, and there's a number of short videos there that will step you through on the basics, because this is world-changing information. It's already changed the world, and the sooner you get into it, the better. And if you already know about it, check out news.bitcoin.com to stay up to date on all the news that's relevant to you, all on a sleek and easy to use website. That's bitcoin.com. Definitely prior to March the 16th, probably the website I visited more than any other, simply because, you know, I like to know what's going on in the cryptocurrency world, and they stay on top of it. So check it out, bitcoin.com. Well, we were talking about crazy Christians and how my Christian family, they're crazy. And
mine too.
Yeah, it sounds like, Bonnie, your experience is very similar. But, you know, it would be a good idea for these people to actually evaluate what's happening to the Uyghur Muslims in China and treat it like the Holocaust that it is. But before we get into that, let's go to Jordy, who's listening on KFPW, your own Free Talk Live.
Wonderful. Hey, guys. First time caller, actually. First time to get through. So thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Welcome.
What's on your mind tonight?
Thank you. Just wanted to call in. I'm actually somebody that would consider myself to be a relatively hardcore progressive, but I love listening to this show because you guys will cover a range of topics. And I was particularly interested in this sort of concept of a state-sponsored religion where one upholds very specifically a certain person in the government or otherwise an organization in that sense as, quote-unquote, a god. I was wondering...
Look at what the American government really is. It's represented with all of these flags, these emblems. It has its songs. It has its chants, the Pledge of Allegiance, for example.
Holy days.
Hymns, holy days, and its own churches, which are basically courtrooms. I mean, if you look at the interior of a courtroom and compare it to the interior of a church, the only difference is that the church has crosses, while the courtroom has different symbols of its religion.
Eagles or something.
Yeah, but there's still a robed man coming out. There are honest-to-God pews. The whole illusion there is absolutely a religion. You know, people believe in the government as something that's greater than them, something that's looking out for them, something that's providing for them, taking care of them, in the same way that people look to a deity.
Absolutely. And it's extremely interesting to phrase it that way when you consider the very ritualistic aspect of those more constructed organizations as well. But what I wanted to step quickly outside of this main discussion real quick to sort of touch on would be the idea that the government, the United States government specifically, would be using the very recent, some people will know this as UFO, but the terminology that we're seeing nowadays is UAP, an unidentified aerial phenomena.
Right.
I have a lot of very close, as we would say, crazy Christian relatives that see this as one of two things, an instrument of control by the government to force people into an ego state, like a youthful state of mind that makes them dependent on answers, or otherwise an incursion by Satan with demons with his far advanced technology.
I'm very familiar with this.
Yeah, is anybody familiar with this, what's going on in the government right now, them talking about all of that?
Well, I had someone, I don't recall who, recommend Project Bluebeam, I think is what it was called, to me, and it's about 100 pages long. It's a really short book. I was able to read most of it in a night, and it's basically just this lunatic Christian without any evidence whatsoever making these claims that the U.S. government is going to stage an alien invasion so that they can take control, and, you know, they're working with the Antichrist and all of that. So I wouldn't recommend the book to anyone. I mean, it's certainly a perspective, but there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever to back it.
I've heard a lot of people talking about stuff like that.
Project Bluebeam did say that this was going to happen. And now people are talking about seeing that the U.S. government is coming out saying, oh, yes, these unidentified aerial phenomena are real, and we think they might be extraterrestrials. The head of NASA said that. I mean, maybe well, the book isn't wrong.
They don't want to discount it. Right. They don't want to discount the possibility. They don't want to say, they know it's not China or Russia, but they also don't want to say that it is or isn't a potential extraterrestrial presence. And so I just wonder typically how deeply the Christian community digs into something like this, because while I would consider myself a Christian, I definitely come from an evangelist background. I don't really tie very closely to that identity at all. And to me, the technology that we're seeing, the ramifications, rather, of the technology that we're seeing, actively viewing, actively monitoring in the air, doing things that we cannot possibly hope to achieve with our current level of technology, what do we think that the ramifications of something like this is going to be on our society? And how do we feel like this is going to cross over into those people who would be, you know, freaking out about Y2K, the people that are doomsday preppers? Like, have you heard anything about this in these communities that is sparking any kind of freak out, I guess, like a bug out, you know, grab your
I have not. I mean, I need you to mute us however you're listening to us. But I have not heard anything like that. But then again, I'm no longer in Mississippi, and my family doesn't want to have anything to do with me, and I don't really want to have anything to do with them. So if they're freaking out, I wouldn't know about it. Bonnie, you're still in contact with your family, and you said you've heard these angles before. My family never actually talked about extraterrestrials or aliens or anything like that.
My family has talked about this for like over 10 years. It's like suddenly in the news right now a lot, so I'm sure that there is more talk of it, but it's been kind of like a given. Like, one day the government's going to roll out aliens. They're not really going to be real, and they're going to use that to control us. And if you look at Revelations, I could see how you could interpret some of the beings that are supposed to appear in the end times as like aliens. So maybe that's where they're getting it from. But it's like this has been a narrative for years and years and years, so I don't think anybody's really freaking out.
Thank you so much for the call tonight, Jordy. The book of Revelation has always been interesting to me because it's so clearly and undeniably about the Roman Empire that I don't know why any modern Christian continues to point to it as this upcoming prophecy. From everything I've read about it, you know, it's very vague and useless as a narrative text, but from everything I can tell, it was about the Roman government, the Roman Empire, which no longer even exists. It was about the Roman Empire persecuting Christians, which happened just like the book of Revelation, you know, said it would, but it was happening at the time as well. That's why John was in the Isle of Patmos when he wrote it in the first place.
Nobody should think that the Revelation is something that was supposed to be happening in the future, considering the fact that Jesus said that all of these things would happen, would come to pass before he died, or in that generation, so before the generation they were speaking to would die, and then that never happened, so nobody should even listen to the Bible anymore at all anyway.
But yet, here, millions of people are.
And they generally have no idea what's actually in the Bible, at least in my experience. They have no idea. They think there's something about the rapture in the Bible that, you know, this tribulation of Christians, oh, but it's okay. Christians aren't going to have to go do it because we're going to magically float into the air. It's like, where are you kidding this? Left Behind isn't a chapter of a book of the Bible. I'm sorry, I don't know how to tell you that.
I used to be so afraid that I'd wake up with my parents disappeared or something one day.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A group of 36 states and Washington, D.C. is suing Google, alleging the company's control over its Android app store violates antitrust law, opening a new front in regulators' attempts to rein in the search giant. The lawsuit filed in a California federal court is the third by state attorneys generals to target the company for alleged antitrust violations. Rescue teams that have searched for 2 weeks for any survivors in the rubble of a collapsed Florida condo are now focused on recovering the bodies. Lieutenant Governor of Florida, Jeanette Nunez, joins Fox News to discuss the recovery efforts.
There's been no noise picked up by all the technology that they've been using. Unfortunately, there has been no survivors to date.
Rescuers have recovered the bodies of 46 people, while 94 remain missing. USA Radio News. L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva held a press conference on Wednesday to provide details on the largest drug bust in the L.A. Sheriff Department's history. The operation took place on June 8th this year and seized over 30,000 pounds of marijuana and had over 100 arrests. Lancaster, California Mayor Rex Parris emphatically states what he believes will come if the cartels keep operating these illegal marijuana grows.
This is the cartels. We are very, very close to being driving down the freeway and seeing bodies hanging from the overpasses.
Temporary fencing around the U.S. Capitol is expected to be brought down as early as Friday. Non-scalable fencing was put up around the perimeter following the attack on January 6th. U.S. Capitol Police telling Hill staffers the removal will conclude in 3 days, weather permitting. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in on the discussion, 603-283-6160. With you tonight is Arya, Nikki, and Bonnie. And we were just talking about, during the break, well, we were talking before the break, too, but during the break, we were talking about, you know, our religious experiences and things like that. And one of the bigger issues I have with Christianity is just how insidious it is, right? When you're a child raised in one of these religions, kindergarten, first grade, preschool, that kind of age, it's always just about how much Jesus loves you. But slowly and steadily, as you get older, they start creeping in the horrific aspects of it, where if you were a six-year-old child and you were told you have to believe in this person or you're going to be tortured for all eternity, that's a horrific thing to tell a child. And Christians recognize this. They recognize that at the basis of their religion, there is this horrible, evil threat that if you don't believe in this thing, you will be tortured for all eternity. And of course, that's not even an accurate assessment of what the Bible actually says. There are three afterlives, essentially, according to the Bible, or three places where one can end up. There's heaven, there is the lake of fire, and there is the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is reserved strictly for Lucifer. The unsaved souls, so to speak, get thrown into the lake of fire where they cease to exist. Evidently, the lake of fire is like the volcano in Mordor, where that's where the ring was forged. That's where it can be destroyed.
Wow. So
that's where souls can be destroyed, evidently. But there's nothing in there. And who's going to be doing the torturing? I would love a Christian to call in and let me know, okay, if you believe that there is going to be a hell where people are going to be tortured, who is doing the torturing?
It's supposed to be demons. Well, this is what Christians
believe. But they're the bad ones. Aren't they supposed to be getting tortured as well?
It tortures them to be there, but they're also being able to torture you is what...
But if they're evil, then that means they're probably sadistic, and that means they're probably enjoying it.
Well, they're also, like, burning and stuff. But this isn't, like, what I think is fact, by the way. This is just what I always grew up being told, and my mom would always read those books, like, 21 Minutes in Hell, I think it's what it's called. I read that as a kid, and it's terrifying.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's about a guy who, he was a Christian, and he, like, already believed in God, but God allowed him to go to hell for only, like, 24 minutes. Like, when he came back in his body, the clock had moved for 24 minutes or something like that. And,
so he had a dream that would... I mean, realistically, I even wrote a short story about this called Dead or Alive, where this person is dying and, you know, they're face to face with God being sentenced to hell because they're an atheist. And it's really just the religious programming and their unconscious playing out. I mean, as they die, they're essentially dreaming. And that's what I imagine most of these stories are.
This guy, I don't think he was dying, but he just woke back up but I'm not even saying this is real, but there's lots of stories like this where they go and visit hell and then come back. I was always so sad because there's this one lady that said that she went to hell and she saw Marilyn Monroe, Michael Jackson, Selena. Well, like, why would they go to hell for one thing anyways? And for another thing, like, she said that she saw a little kid who had ran out in the street, and because he disobeyed his mom, that's why God allowed him to be in hell, and he was like a five-year-old.
I can't imagine being a part of a religion that would send a five-year-old to hell for disobeying his mother.
Yeah.
Well, because they're using it as a way to control their children, right? So you have to listen to me or else you're going to go to hell. And,
God.
You have to believe, and it's all just fear tactics to get people to believe in their religion, to be good little boys and girls and worship and listen to their parents and listen to the state and, you know, whatever else.
So obvious when you think about it, too.
It really is. Yeah. And what are these things called where they stage a performance throughout the entire church of a person's life from childhood to adulthood and then into the afterlife? I can't remember now what it's called. A judgment house? Is that it?
I've never heard of that.
Really? Churches do them all the time.
What do you mean stage it?
It's a play, essentially, where they take you from one room to the next, and you're watching, you know, there's a bunch of different actors playing out this person's life, and ultimately, I don't remember all the details of it, but I did go to see one back when I lived in Mississippi in order to support my father, who was in one of these. And we went into the room that was supposed to be hell, and I watched a grown man kneel down and get in a little kid's face as the mother had her arms wrapped around. I knew both of them. They were good friends of mine. The mother had her arms wrapped protectively around the child, who was clearly scared because it was made to be scary. There was fog everywhere, red lights everywhere, music, some cassette player or CD player had people moaning and the sound of whips and stuff like that. Not a terribly good thing to expose, you know, a 7 or 8 year old to. And this grown man dressed as the devil got down in front of this kid, made eye contact, got inches from his face and said, "I can make you turn on your mother."
And, oh, my God.
And everyone there just acted like this was totally normal. But I couldn't. I said, "Hey, man, he's just a kid. Leave him alone." And he got in my face and said, "You think this is a joke? No, there's nothing funny about what you just did. You need to step back and evaluate yourself because you just terrorized a little child into believing." One person got saved that night. And it was that same little kid. Hmm. Terrorized into believing because of this man dressed as the devil.
And that traumatizes people for life.
Yeah, that kid, he will recover eventually, I'm sure. And he'll probably, you know, stop being a believer. But it was just horrifying to watch this play out. And that's ultimately what Christianity is. They just don't talk about it. Underlying the entire thing. Otherwise, if there's no threat to not believing in God, then why bother to believe in the first place? But they also act like belief is something that one can just choose to do. I can't just choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, right? That's something you either believe or you don't. To act like you can just choose to believe is nonsense.
Especially when he never even claimed to be divine except in John, which is like 6 years older than the other three Gospels.
See, I don't know the age of the Gospels very well.
I like reading Bart Ehrman's books. He's a historian, and he talks about, like, this book used to say this up until this century, and then it changed into saying this and stuff like that.
Well, there's certainly very little in the modern text that was there in the original. But, of course, I don't read Aramaic, so I have no idea what the originals actually said. And I don't read Hebrew, so I don't know what the Old Testament said either. I do know, however, that Thomas Paine wrote The Age of Reason, which is probably one of the best examples of an awesome book that I've ever read. Everyone should read it. And basically, he outlines in there that the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, definitively were not written by Moses. And, I mean, he lays out the case over several hundred pages, and it's just 100% clear, those first five books of the Bible, not written by Moses. But that doesn't stop Christians from making the claim. He also makes the point that prophesying meant to make music, and now we consider it to be telling the future or whatever, but he lays out his case just... You know, you have stories in the Bible of people prophesying with musical instruments, like he prophesied with the lyre, and there were qualities to it. You know, he prophesied well, or he prophesied badly. Well, how do you either tell the future or you don't?
Yeah.
But it's prophesied just meant to make music.
So weird. First of all, I've never heard that Thomas Paine made any books about religion. Honestly, I didn't know that, so now I'm interested to
read it. He did. It's called The Age of Reason, and I would highly recommend it to anyone. He also wrote The Rights of Man, in counter to something that Edmund Burke wrote, and it's also really... Everything that Thomas Paine wrote is fantastic. And he wrote for the commoner, whereas Ben Franklin... I can't stand the writing of Benjamin Franklin, because he was superfluous, used as many unnecessary words to convey a thought as he could, when Thomas Paine got straight to the point. And because of that, Thomas Paine is so much more enjoyable to read. But The Age of Reason is definitely worth reading, as is The Rights of Man, where he points out that, you know, it doesn't matter what tradition says, because we're not ruled by the dead. And there's no more insolent of tyrannies, is how he put it, than the one that tries to rule us from the grave. And that's essentially what we have in the United States with, oh, well, we have to obey the Constitution.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
Because that's what they decided in 1776. It's like that. Thomas Paine is right. That is the most insolent of tyrannies, to tell us that these dead people, who we cannot hold accountable, are the ones ultimately ruling over us today. And that runs counter to everything they wrote about in 1776. And they would be horrified to find out that Barack Obama made exactly that argument in response to the secession petitions in 2018 or 2012, whenever it was.
Oh, yeah, we already settled that in the Civil War.
Yeah, okay, so dead people settled that. He said, well, it's clear that our founders intended the Union to be perpetual. Okay, but what does that have to do with today?
Forget them.
Because the founders are dead. They no longer have any say in what we do. What are your thoughts? 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, 603-283-6160. You can call in, talk about whatever's on your mind, change the subject, or carry on with whatever we've been discussing, because I don't remember now what we were discussing just a moment ago. 603-283-6160 is the number to do that. With you tonight is Aria, Bonnie, and Nikki. And I've got a story here about Bill Cosby. Have either of you, I'm sure, Nikki, you're nodding, so you're aware of what's happening, and Bonnie, I presume you are as well.
Yeah, that he got out of prison?
He was released from prison. Now, this convicted rapist, and it seems to be fairly certain that he is, in fact, a rapist, was released from prison on what seems to be a technicality where a former prosecutor said that there wasn't enough evidence, so he wasn't going to prosecute him. But then there was more evidence, so a prosecutor prosecuted him. And the judge ultimately threw it out because the old prosecutor said there hadn't been enough evidence. It's like he doesn't seem to realize that evidence can, you know, come in the future, right? So, I mean, that's a weird legal loophole. But let's
sounds
get into
like
it.
He gave someone a lot of money and they released him, is what that sounds like to me.
It's not impossible. MSNBC, they don't usually have anything worthwhile, but this one is worthwhile. Bill Cosby's release from prison was no win for Black America. There's nothing laudable about Cosby's release. Black public opinion on Bill Cosby's release from prison on Wednesday can be summed up in two tweets. The first came from Felicia Rashad, Cosby's on-air spouse during the years he was declared America's dad. That would be during The Cosby Show, one of the instances of it. Weren't there like five different versions of The Cosby Show?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I thought there was only one.
I only remember one, but I never really watched it a lot.
Finally, she says, a terrible wrong is being righted. She ultimately deleted that tweet. Probably a good call. The newly appointed dean of Howard University's College of Fine Arts got an earful from many Twitter followers. So this former actress, evidently, I did not know that, she's the dean of Howard University's College of Fine Arts. But that included, the pushback included Janet Hubert, who played the original Aunt Bev on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, whose response rounded out the other side of Black feelings on the matter. Felicia, what are you thinking? Well, that's pretty vague as well. I mean, it's clearly that she disagrees, but it doesn't actually express an opinion.
It's strange that they're spinning this into a race thing.
It is strange.
It is, but that's MSNBC. That's what the left does, man. Everything ultimately comes down to race. And in my opinion, this doesn't. It was a rapist who should, if we're going to have a prison, then that's probably, if rapists would belong in that prison.
I agree.
What's weird to me is, like, one prosecutor says there wasn't enough evidence to prosecute something, then another one does. Okay, there's 50 women. Jerome called in about this, I think, Saturday, and told, like, I didn't hear about this from anyone except until Jerome called in. He said there was 50 accusers. So, I mean, that should just be one case, right? Or, like...
It would certainly be a lot of cases. But let's go to the phones. We've got Jet calling. Jet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, hi. I'm one of
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
People, I'm a crazy person, and I'm also a Christian.
In what way are you crazy?
Well,
because not all Christians are crazy. I want to be clear about that. I may have made it sound that way, but not all Christians are crazy.
Well, everybody tells me I'm crazy because I just don't seem to go along with the norm. Just don't seem to fall in line with other people who claim to be Christian, but they're, you can easily tell that they're not. Anyway, I wanted to...
I can relate to that, and my mind was never blown more than it was one year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival when I was on shrooms or LSD or something, and Rich Paul said, you're a trans-Satanist anarchist, or something to that effect, you must be crazy. And I said, I'm not the crazy one. Everyone else is crazy for not being a Satanist anarchist. And he says, well, yes, but every insane person says that they're the only sane one. That's sort of the definition of insanity.
In fact, every Christian I know says, oh, well, I'm a real Christian, and I can tell when other people aren't real Christians. Like, my mom says that, and then I know a person that has said that about my mom, so.
Well, I'll help you out. The way you can tell, of course, a real Christian will have what we call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And
you're indwelt.
And how that manifests itself is in love and peace. So you can pretty much gauge it that way. Anything outside the parameters of love and peace, you just cannot claim that you're following the teachings of Christ. So
I mean, Christ was really clear with this whole message about love and peace and all of that. I don't know how Christians have contorted it, or I don't know how American Christians at large have contorted it into this thing that allows them to drop bombs on people, but...
It's the whole thing about certain people wanting to be in control. I mean, this is why most pastors and all that do false teachings. One of which I wanted to bring up the other day, you know, you've heard a lot of people say, we are to give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Well,
right.
I like to help people, you know, think that through, because they automatically start thinking, oh, well, Caesar represents the government, and Caesar then is the modern day thing. And I'm going, no, Jesus is cool. Okay. He knows, because all other scripture from the Old Covenant and all says that everything is God's and all things were created for him, by him, and that kind of thing. So when Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, he knows what he's saying. He's saying nothing is Caesar's. And the way I help people understand that better is to take the $100 bill, which is Ben Franklin, and say, give to Ben Franklin what is Ben Franklin, and to God what is God's. You get that?
I do. I've heard that interpretation before. There's definitely two interpretations of it, and, I mean, they are conflicting. I prefer your interpretation of it, because they were trying to trick. It depends on how you interpret it, and that's one of the issues with the Bible. Many interpret it as being Jesus saying...
You can't interpret that all things are God's. I mean, if you know logic at all means all. And that's...
So there's no such thing in Christian dogma as private property? I don't own anything. It all belongs to God? So I can help myself to your stuff because it's basically my stuff, because it's God's stuff?
Yeah, we're all God's children.
That's a big deep right there.
I don't think it is, because you don't own anything, so you don't have any property rights.
No, we are. Yes, we do.
But everything belongs to God.
Yes, that's absolutely right. But we are the stewards of His property, this land.
Okay, then I'm the steward of his property, and I can take your stuff, right?
Let's not go around in a circle with that one. Let's go with...
let's not go to logical conclusions with that one.
No, there's no... The logic fails horribly on that.
I don't think it does, but... thank you tonight for the call. Anyway, the other interpretation is that Jesus was saying, pay your taxes. Because it's pretty clear, for those who don't know the story, someone came up to Jesus. They were trying to bait him into a trap. They said, should we pay our taxes? Jesus asked them, whose face is that on the coin? To which they said, it's Caesar's. And he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. You can interpret that two ways. One is the way of saying that everything is God and Caesar doesn't actually own anything. Or, it's Caesar's face on it, and, that kind of means it's his. But, there's certainly different ways of interpreting it. I tend to think that the way that Jet interprets it is correct. I think that's what the point of the story was, but it's also one I reject, because if God owns everything, then I don't own anything, and there's no room for private property in the Christian dogma. I know that Jet seems to disagree, and he says, oh, no, we still somehow have private property, but everything is God's, but that means it's not yours, right? So, Bonnie, you said it best. Logic and Christianity often don't mix, and that seems to be one of those cases. I certainly am an advocate of private property, and most Christians I know are. And I don't know how they reconcile that with the notion that everything belongs to God, because that means they don't own anything. How do you reconcile that if you're a believer out there? Jet just sort of glossed over and said, well, we're stewards. Okay, but it's still God's, right? And I'm the same level of steward that you are, so I can just take your stuff because we're on the same property rights level in God's eyes. But maybe you have a better solution to that. 603-283-6160 is the call-in line.
I know that Jet doesn't, believe in, government and stuff like that just because he's called in before. But, other people could say that the government has the rights to your stuff if they believe in God, then if he thinks about that hard enough. Oh, well, as long as the government is a Christian government, then they can take some of your stuff.
Well, that's just more evidence of how the state is a religion, right? Because everything in the United States is ultimately the property of the United States government. They can seize anything they want at any time they want. And not to mention that they can regulate it, they can restrict it, they can make you get a license for it, because it all ultimately belongs to them.
Except Bitcoin.
Yeah, except Bitcoin. And, they're trying to do something about that. But what are your thoughts on the subject? 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. Hour 3 is up next.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.